In 1994, a film came out called Star Trek Generations. And for those of you who aren't Trekkers, it was the first time that original cast members and members of the new cast were in a movie together. Very exciting stuff. And the villain was named Tolian Soran. And at one point, he quotes a poem called Calmly We Walk Through This April's Day by Delmore Schwartz. He tells the hero, Captain Jean-Luc Picard, they say time is the fire in which we burn. Soren was obsessed with time, destroyed by time, unable to let go of the past and move forward into any kind of future. He destroyed everything in his path in an effort to try to go back to some time where he was happy. I thought about him a lot this year. And I've often wondered if he ever read the rest of the poem, or if the writers read the rest of the poem, because the last stanza goes like this. Every minute bursts in the burning room, the great globe reels in the solar fire, spinning the trivial and the unique away. Look how all things flash. Look how all things flare. What am I still now that I was then? May memory restore again and again the smallest color of the smallest day. Time is the school in which we learn. Time is the fire in which we burn. We're all a little older. A little more of us has been burned away, both the unique and the trivial. After this year, some of us honestly feel a little scorched. And standing in this place at the start of a new year, between the now and the not yet, some of us may long for Soren's solution. I'm not moving. I'm going to stand right here until I'm happy again. Soren found the fire of time, but refused to enter the school that teaches. He would rather have burned than learn. Today's New Year's Day. It's also the last day of Hanukkah. And that's actually a pretty great pairing. At some point in our lives, most of us have or will go to a New Year's Eve party, which we regret rather deeply the next day. And I think you know the ones I'm talking about. You eat too much. You stay up too late, play too many games in a loud room with loud people, some of whom you barely know. Maybe you even wake up at someone else's house with your head in a bowl of guacamole. The old year has just beaten you at that point. Well, the original Hanukkah story sounds a little like the aftermath of one of these parties. The Greeks showed up, they had a ball, they started a fight with the Jews who owned the place, and they threw barbecue ribs and pig feet all over the temple. The Maccabees were understandably upset. They fought back, and it took them 8 days to clean the place up and get the barbecue sauce out of the tapestry and to find a priest to bring them some more holy oil and re-bless everything. Funny enough, though, this story isn't a part of Jewish scripture. It isn't in the Tanakh or what Christians call the Old Testament. It's found in the book of Maccabees, which nobody includes as a required part of Holy Scripture. Because you see, Jews don't glorify killing or war if they can help it. And all kidding aside, the Hanukkah story is about a rebellion. It's about people standing up and saying, you're not going to do this to us. And we're not going to go along with whatever it is you're doing. We're not going to move. We're not going to do it. They refuse to be absorbed or assimilated into Greek culture. They refuse to join practices that they found abhorrent, and instead they took matters into their own hands. No. No, we'd rather fight. We'd rather die. There was no miracle in the real story. It took 8 days to clean up the filth and desecration in that temple. And by then, priests had consecrated more oil and were prepared to re-bless the place and to sweep out the last of the atrocities that the Greeks had committed. The holiday was created in 138 BCE, but it was a minor celebration, a blip on the Jewish calendar. We used to joke, oh, it's every bit as important as Purim, and nobody knows how important Purim is. It's just one of those things where you go, oh, yeah, Hanukkah. The miracle was added by a group of rabbis who wanted and needed a layer of metaphysical meaning to that story. It gave it symbolic depth, but it also took away the power of the story, the real power, which was the idea that humans could fight for justice. Humans could say no without having a God step in and say, I'm going to do this for you, without having a miracle happen to propel them forward. It's a very human story. It told Jews that a group of Jewish underdogs won. They beat the Greeks and reclaimed their temple. That was good stuff, but it wasn't enough for the writers. They needed the deeper symbolism. They needed the miracle, so they added one. They found the fire. They ignored the school, and time burned on. We ended up being more impressed by the story than we were by the power of the human beings. Saint Nicolaus, Saint Nicholas, the real Santa Claus. Santa Claus existed. Santa Claus exists. Was born on March 15, 270 Common Era. But he was a quiet guy. He didn't start out wearing a red suit, looking all flashy. Back then, he hadn't gotten any elves or reindeer yet, and so Jewish families didn't pay a lot of attention. Hanukkah got popular in the 20th century after Christmas began to gain steam as a commercial event, after Santa hired a workshop of elves and a team of reindeer led by Rudolph. And Jewish children felt left out of a season with more and more elaborate celebration, trees and lights and games, special food. And so, as Judaism often does, we acculturated. We adapted the culture to ourselves. We assimilated the customs of Christmas in a Jewish framework. And suddenly, happy Jewish kids were exchanging 8 days' worth of gifts and spinning dreidels with joy, or at least a lot of greed. So Hanukkah was originally about rebellion and human agency, which was translated, and translated well, don't get me wrong, translated to a miracle of fire that wouldn't go out, a symbolic representation of those people and of Judaism. Christmas started as a combination of pagan Yule blended with the midwinter festival of Mithras, celebrating the return of the light, was co-opted as the birth of Jesus to make it easier for pagans and Zoroastrians to convert. It was the return of the undying sun, Deus Sol Invictus, S-U-N, sun. And it became the actual birth of God's undying son, S-O-N, who would later resurrect after death. Santa Claus was a quiet man at first. He brought gifts of gold and food to the poor. The first three people he brought gifts to were three women who who were busy starving, and he brought gold. And he did it by actually throwing it in their window. The original story says that they were laying in bed and they were hungry. And St. Nicholas walked by outside and lobbed a bag of gold in the window because he didn't want them to know who gave it, whacking one of them in the head. Santa was quiet until reporters and the Coca-Cola company told the world all about him. And New Year for Europe and later America was based on that exact same idea, the fire festival. Days are getting longer. The undying sun returns. Keep calm and praise the sun. In a modern world, if we remove all the commercialism, what do all these holidays mean other than possibly to wake up and get your head out of the guacamole? Well, they mean exactly that. It is time to wake up and get your head out of wherever you've got it stuck. Time to wake up. Time is burning onward. And unless you learn and grow from the experience, it's all for nothing. It's time to realize that the wheel of the year keeps turning and the dark days are getting shorter. The trivial and the deep are both getting burned away as you go. It's time to decide what things in our life we want to let die as the old year dies, and what we want to see born as springtime and life return to our area of the world. In the cold of the year, the light returns, and that's not a mystic, far-off idea, but a fire in the human heart. That same fire of dedication that the Hanukkah miracle of the oil symbolizes. Just because something isn't factually true doesn't mean it isn't real. We are the fire that refuses to go out. We've made it this far. You have had 100% success in making it through years up to this point. You're here. We hang Christmas lights. We light the candles of Hanukkah. We light New Year's fireworks and we watch the ball drop or the fleur-de-lis drop. At some level, we do this to remind ourselves that light isn't gone, that warm is coming back, and we're not alone in the dark. We're performing rituals based on things that humans have done for 2,000 or 3,000 years. They remind people that winter is not forever and that we have the power to bring back the sun. Time may be the fire in which we burn, but light can make all the difference in the world because we use that fire. Our ancestors discovered and tamed it with or without the help of coyote, frog, and some wood. It lets us travel and cook and cauterize wounds and scare off things with big, sharp, pointy teeth. And fire's a contradiction, just like our lives. It warms us and it burns down a house. Fire refines and burns away impurity in a metal, and it destroys wood. It can be cozy to sit beside the lovely warmth. And we can get so comfortable that we never go outside again. We can light up the house to keep from being afraid and then refuse to ever go out in the darkness. So as I said, 2016 has been a challenging year. And we welcome 2017. And we honor and recognize the duality of flame, the creation and the destruction. It's time for a fire of commitment to be relit in our hearts so that we who value justice and crave peace can accept our own responsibility for bringing those things into being. And it's time for a fire of passion to burn in our souls so that we hunger and thirst for change. It's time for a fire of love and acceptance to burn in our faces and in our eyes so that we can see our neighbors clearly and hold them closely, recognizing them for who they are, not for who we would want them to be. And it's time for the fire of a new year to burn away everything that holds us back from becoming our best selves and from carrying that light into the dark places of the world. The New Year and Hanukkah, what a great combination. No matter who we are or what we've done, a new fire can always be lit in our heart and our soul. We are the sacred oil that doesn't burn out. If Soren is right and time is the fire in which we burn, it is also the light that lets us see the path forward. We begin again in fire over and over. We burn away what we don't want. We warm what we would nurture into being. We begin again in love as many times as we need to, over and over and over. The old year is gone. And out of the flames, we begin again, and we rise like the phoenix.
Out of the flames of fear, we rise with courage of our deepest convictions to stand for justice, inclusion, and peace. Out of the flames of scrutiny, we rise to proclaim our faith, with hope to heal a fractured and hurting world. Out of the flames of doubt, we rise to embrace the mystery, wonder, and awe of all there is and all that is yet to be. Out of the flames of hate, we rise with the force of love, love that celebrates our shared humanity. Out of the flames, we rise.
The new year calls us forward, filled with mystery. And as we enter into it, we take a final look at the past year and we reckon with all that it held for us. I have a basket up here filled with flash paper, and Barb is going to be holding it. It's specially treated paper that evaporates completely in a fire, leaving no residue. In just a few minutes, I'm going to have you come forward as you are called and take a piece of paper and think about the year behind you. What do you want to leave behind in that year? What do you want to burn so brightly that it changes form and disappears? What parts of your life, what things or ideas, people or ways of living have become obstacles to you being the person you want to be? What's holding you back? What's getting in the way of you living as fully as you'd like to? What will you burn away? What will you let go of today? When you come forward, Barb will hand you a piece of paper. Just hold it in your hand for a minute. Just for a minute. And think about what it is you're letting go of. And then holding it by the corner, you're going to touch it to the flame and it'll disappear instantly. And don't worry, I have a fire extinguisher right behind me in the office. Nobody will know what it is you're letting go of except for you and the universe. For the next few minutes, music will be playing. Think about what it is you're letting go of. Think about what it is you want gone, what you want to cast away from yourself, what you want to burn in that fire of time. Whenever you are ready, there's no order to this, whenever you are ready, Barb is going to be standing right over here. She'll have the tray. Come forward. Get a piece of paper from her. And burn away whatever it is that you want to get rid of. As the flame takes the paper, let it go. I'll be up here, and if you're nervous around fire, I'll be happy to burn for you. If the past year held joy for you, may the sweetness bless you. And if it held bitterness and pain, may you be relieved of those burdens. May you look to the new with hope, with curiosity, and with faith. And may you be blessed. So take just a minute and think. And when you're ready, come forward and get paper from Barb.